like to welcome all of you. And this is a special Sunday. How many of you think this is a special Sunday? If it is for you, could you say amen? Amen. It is a very special Sunday because, you know why? Because God could really change your life. When I was a college student a few years ago, I became a Christian through John's Gospel. If you could just look up here, yeah, because I want to share my my just story. And my life was never the same. And I felt I know what I had to live for. That's what he did to me. And I want to ask you, do you know what you live for? I'm not being offensive here, because that's exactly what the message that we're going to be hearing today. Do you know who you are? What do you mean? My name is Paul, born in Kim's family. Is that who you are? Does that answer anything to you? Okay, when I was a college student, I met Jesus through the Gospel of John, and I still vividly remember 91, my son was born, so 84, I met Christ. And I really felt like I need to live for. Do you know what you need to live for? Do you know why you study? Do you know why do you need to make money? Pay the bills and raise the children, is that why? Really? Okay, today, fourth message on John's Gospel, and the title of the message is, it's a little peculiar. I am not the Christ. Could you repeat after me? I am not the Christ.
I am not Christ.
Say it with, as you mean it. Are you Christ? So say it as you mean it. I am not the Christ.
I am not the Christ.
Okay, you know what? It's very meaningful because the word Christ means king, right? Messiah, king. And I am not the king of my life. If you could just say to yourself, are you the king of your life? You live for yourself, you make decisions, you spend all your money on yourself, and you, everything for yourself, then you are the king, you are the Christ. But today, the title of the message is, I am not the Christ. After spending three Sundays going over the first 18 verses of John chapter 1, which is the prologue, okay, prologue. And John's gospel is very, very special, and it is so good, okay? First 18 verses are very theological and philosophical. I don't know whether you're like that, you're oriented like that. I'm not. Personally, I'm not, okay? And then verse 18 on is narratives and the testimony of real people. And first 20 verses or so is the testimony of someone by the name of John the Baptist. Now, interesting thing about this John the Baptist is he's a really, really peculiar, weird figure, okay? He lived in the desert wearing camel's clothing. What a fashion, right? Right? And he would eat locust, grasshoppers, and honey. And his message was clear, actually, clear. Repent, the kingdom is near. Okay, still the same message is same today. Repent, kingdom is near. You see, if the kingdom, new world is coming, new king is coming, you better make yourself stand clear. Are you gonna be aligned in allegiance with the previous king, which is you? Okay, or are you going to be in a line with the new King of Kings and the kingdom? His message was very, very clear. And his story is written in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Those of you who understand, read the Gospels before, there aren't a whole lot of stories that shows up in every four Gospels. Okay, all four Gospels. There are only a handful. Do you know what they are? Do you know what they are? The story of feeding 5,000, okay? Gethsemane. Not even birth. You see, if it is going to show up in every gospel of the gospels, it has to be important. That makes sense, right? And somehow, the story and the testimony of this one person is very, very important in history. I asked this question in KM service. After you pass, okay, what would people remember of you? Oh, I don't want to think about things like that. Well, think. After you pass, what would people remember of you? What would your children remember of you? By the way, we welcome entire clan of John Seoul. 3 children, newborn baby. Can we welcome? Good to see you, Esther. Yeah. What would your children remember of you? Does that matter to you? I tell you something, it matters to me now. I really do, actually. I sometimes have this this kind of thought these days. When I am gone, when I'm done with ministry, when I'm gone, which will happen one day, what would people remember of me? Will they remember me? No, seriously, I think about things like that. Is that a bad thought? I think that's really good to think about. What would people remember you? What would your children remember you? My parents, my father, really revered the Lord. And that was his life. Okay? We all gonna have something, a message that you're gonna give. Now, John the Baptist is a great, interesting figure, but I am not gonna focus this message on John. But I'm going to focus this message on message of John, who is Jesus. Okay? What was the message of Jesus? 3 things, if you could just listen to this. Number 1, Jesus is God, Son of God. Verse 34. Okay? Second message is that Jesus is the Lamb. What an incredible paradox. God is the Lamb. That's Christianity, people. Okay, it's not something in between, lukewarm, wishy-washy, one foot in, one foot out, should I not kind of thing. He is God and he's the Lamb. Okay, and the third message, which is very, very clear in today's chapter, in John's testimony, is that Jesus is the one who gives spirit to those who believe in him. That's an incredible message. Jesus tabernacles in you. Jesus dwelt among you. 3 message. Okay? Number 1, Jesus is God, Son of God. Verse 34. Number 2, Jesus is the Lamb. Verse 29. Okay? And number 3, Jesus is the one who gives God the Spirit to your life, and he tabernacles with you. Verse 33. My prayer is, okay, when I am done, okay, in the years to come, I don't know how long, you know, I'll be continue to preach, but I pray that Pastor Paul had a message. He had a clear message that Jesus is God and Jesus is the Lamb. And he's the one who imparts and gives and baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I want to hold on to this message. I don't want to, you know, focus too much on John the Baptist, although he's such a prominent figure and he shows up 4 times, right? I mean, you know, every gospel. So I want to just talk about John the Baptist a little bit. What can we see and what can we learn and what is so significant about John's story? 3 things. Number 1, John the Baptist knew who he was. Do you know who you are? He knew who he was. I'm not the Christ. You know, if you read the text carefully, the Jews and the people ask 3 times in this text, who are you? So interesting if you think about it. Can I ask you, who are you? Who are you? Could you turn to your neighbor and, on a serious note, if you could turn to your neighbor and say, who are you? Could you ask? And I see Andrew asking Marianne, who are you? Very good. Seriously, do you know who you are? I'm Andrew I was born in Lee family. Is that who you are? Right? Here's my next question. If you don't, without knowing who you are, do you know what you need to live for? What do you live for? What do you study for? What are you sitting here for? What do you make money for? What do you want to send your kids to the best school? Why? Oh, I have an answer. So that he will graduate and get a great job. Why? So that he will make decent salary and great money. Why? So that he will marry a decent wife or decent husband. Why? So that he will have, she will have a nice house, reputable, respectful. Why? So that they will have children that everyone will admire and respect. Why? So that they will have a house. Why? And you could keep going. Is that why? No, seriously, I'm asking you. But he knew who he was. Okay? You know why? Because he knew Christ. I'm not the Christ. He is. The one who comes after me is so much greater than I. Before I was, he was. Did you know that John was 6 months older than Jesus? They were second cousins. Okay? So peculiar for him to say, my younger cousin was before me. Referring to Jesus' eternal being. Okay? So he knew his place and he knew who he was. Second thing was, he lived and ministered. He baptized for a purpose. People ask, if you're not Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not a prophet, what do you baptize? What do you do ministry? Pastors, what do you do ministry? Right? He lived to minister, to prepare the way of the Lord. So that the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, could be coming into your life. And that's our prayer. Our church, I mean, it's good to be relevant. It's good to be social. Good to be, do social justice and all that. But my ultimate prayer is that Lord will reign in your life. Okay? And third and last, I think this is really, really important. He exalted, magnified to the end one person of Christ. That's a very difficult thing to do. I don't know whether you agree with me. Do you know any real old people honor Christ? Very few. If you read the Bible, kings and all these prophets, many of them, they don't do well. If you hear the current news, many people fail. Older people, why? You know, we went over this in Romans Gospel. Is it because at the end, somehow he just make big mistake and just fallen? Is that what it is? Do you really believe that? If you are really truly regenerated, and walking with the Holy Spirit, and we believe in sanctification, becoming more like Jesus, and one day you collapse, does that make any sense to you? To me, it doesn't make sense anymore. It does not. And it is my confidence, and it is my humble confidence in Christ. Because of his grace, he will carry me through, and I'm not going to fall at the end. I could always fall, but he will uphold my life. Okay? He, to the end, was exalting just one person to the end. So let me just go over these things a little bit in detail. You know, John's life story is highlighted in the Gospels. Do you know anyone else's life is highlighted? Very few people. But his life was highlighted. Why was he so important? Because he was the last prophet of the Old Testament. For those of you who do not know, after Malachi, after the Old Testament, there was 400 years of darkness. Now, think with me. There is no prophet. There is no voice of God. There is no message of God for 400 years. I want you to feel this. 400 years. So you may be born 100 years later, and you die before any light shines. So you are in darkness. Your father was in darkness. Your grandfather was in darkness. 400 years of darkness. And finally, God sent a voice. Very special person. And he's such an interesting figure because Jesus came as a contemporary, he's not only the last Old Testament prophet, but he's the first New Testament preacher, right? If you will. And they are second cousins, and they are contemporaries. I can't imagine, you know, being contemporary with Jesus. How'd you feel? You know, in fact, they come across each other in their ministries. Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John's life was highlighted, and he clearly knew who he was, his place, his purpose, his role in his life. This past Tuesday was my wedding anniversary. Those of you kind of friend with me on Facebook would know. Most of you are not, right? You're Instagram people, right? So we had a lunch and then we went to see a movie. Okay, I didn't know movie theaters were that luxurious. I was like literally lying down. Regal premium experience, RPX. It was very expensive, but it was anniversary. So we saw Lion King. And I love lions, those of you know me, I love lions. And Simba was living in guilt, wasn't he? And he was living in denial. Hakuna, or something, don't worry, nothing to worry about with Pumbaa. And he was completely living in denial, and yet he was guilty. When his dad, King Mufasa, passed away because of him, he knew it was his fault. Right? So he was living in, guilt and denial, and prophet comes to him, the monkey. I forgot his name. The prophet comes to him with a stick. And the prophet takes Simba to where? To the lake. To see you, Simba. Let me show you who you are. Remember that? So he goes to the lake. And he looks at the lake and see himself, and he can't really see it. So the prophet, using his staff, and then the waves, and then he sees himself, and all of a sudden, he sees Mufasa, the king. That's when he was born again. He borns again right there. He doesn't want to live in denial anymore, and he doesn't want to live in guilt anymore. And that's when the voice of Mufasa came, showing the stars, hey, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Do you remember that? So, and then he wakes up. He's completely regenerated. He does, right? And then what does he do? He remembers the kingdom. He remembers what his destiny is. He remembers what he needs to live for. So he goes back and end up being the king. King. Jesus wants you to remember who you are, people. You do not go to school, you do not go to work, and you do not get married for you. He wants you to remember who you are. He wants you to remember the king, right? For Moses, it was the burning bush, right? That's when he became the real person. For Simba, it was the lake. But what about us? It's the cross, people. It's the cross where he poured his fullness of grace upon you. Fullness of grace. If you remember that, right, you'll remember who you are. When I met Christ, that Christ, I knew what I had to live for. There was no doubt about that. I share this testimony so many times. I'm going to share it again. When he met me, I said to him, if I do not live for you, I gotta be the greatest fool. That's when I get into Stony Brook Dental School. Okay? And it was a decent school. And I said, it doesn't matter whether I practice dentistry or not. It doesn't matter whether I do that or not. If I do not live for you, I gotta be the greatest fool. People, when you come to the cross, he speaks to you. Simba, I love you. You're my child. remember who you are. You're destined to be the king's son, right? And Jesus is the lion king, lion of Judah. Jesus is, people. To know him is to know you, actually. Without knowing him, you don't know who you are. Without knowing who you are, how do you know what to live for? How do you even know where you're heading toward to? Why? There's nothing, right? To him is to know who you are. Because in him we live and we move and we have our being. He is the beginning. He is the creator. He is the giver of life, right? And he is the end. Without knowing him, you do not even know what you are. You do not even know what you go to school for. You do not even know what you work for. You do not even know why you get angry all the time. You don't. So many people still living in denial. Hakuna something, I couldn't catch that. Yeah. Anybody remember? Hakuna, not Mungu, okay? Mungu is God. Living in denial, right? With Pumpa. And living in guilt, deep inside you're guilty. And the king doesn't want you to live like that, okay? Secondly, John the Baptist really had a clear message that prepare the way of the Lord. Now, let me just go to that. Right here, verse 23, who are you? A few times they ask you, who are you? Right? Are you Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you one of the prophets? No. And then he introduces himself. This is who I am. Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who send us. What do you say about yourself? Verse 23, this is who I am. I am the voice. I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. You know what he's doing? He's quoting Isaiah 40. Basically, this is a messianic prophecy. And he's saying, I am the voice, and Jesus is the Lord Jehovah of the Old Testament. He's the creator. He's the one who writes history. He's the one who made you born. He's the one who made you born. He's the one who gives very breath you are taking right now. He could any moment take it away. Seriously, people. Seriously. He's the one who gives grace so that you will wake up from your blindness. He's the one who opens the door of your life. He's the one who died and resurrected. He's the God-man. He is the Lord. That was his message. Okay? And next message that he gives, which is an incredible message, is that, oh, by the way, so why are you baptizing? Why are you doing ministry? What's the purpose of your life? If you are neither Christ, Elijah, or prophet, and John gives an answer, I baptize with water. But among you stand one you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Is he answering the question? Who are you? And this is why I'm baptizing. Instead of explaining why I'm baptizing, he introduces Jesus. Like giving wrong answer. Right? I baptize with you water, but the one who comes after me is so superior, so much greater than I, and he's before me. Now here we go. He's a younger cousin. But he knew who Jesus was. He was before me. And he's so superior that I cannot even untie the strap of the sandal, which means I cannot even wash his feet. In the Palestinian culture, the lowest rank slave washed the feet of the guests. And he's basically saying that I'm not even worthy to do that. And he's not exaggerating. He's not being humble here. He just knows who Jesus is. Do you know who he is? Do you know who he is? If you know him, you would know what you want to live for. And then the next message, which John's gospel introduces, which is, I think, the greatest paradox, right? He goes, next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm going to explain this in detail next week. But Jesus, Son of God, is the Lamb. Okay? Can you show some registering faces? Jesus is the Lamb. Creator of the universe is the Lamb. Right away, when people hear the Lamb in that culture, they knew Lamb was to be slaughtered or slain. Okay? And Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh, the King, Creator, is to be slain. And that was his message. Is that the message you believe? Is that the Christianity that you believe and follow? I really want you. I want you to ask. There are so many of you who's been going to church all your life, right? In fact, you were in your mother's womb when you were conceived inside the church. So many of you like that. But can I ask you? Is that the Jesus and Christianity you believe? I must push this actually, because that is the teaching of the Scripture. If I were to just kind of smooth it down and kind of like dilute it a little bit, there is no Christian message and there is no gospel. Jesus is the Lamb who was slain for you. Slain for you. Why? Because he loved me and he gave himself for me, right? He prepared the way. You know what my role is? You know, I learned very clearly a few years ago. I used to not say that, but in my heart I was sitting at the throne of God, myself. I was the Christ, in other words. And then he humbled me. And now I know, and I keep reminding myself, Lord, Spirit of the Lord, continue to remind myself, I'm just a mere dry stick. Dry stick means there is no life unless I'm attached to Christ. I'm just a lump of clay. Any moment, he could take my breath away. Any moment, I could get sick and I gotta go. Any moment. And I believe in that, actually. I'm not saying I'm terrified about that. No, I'm not. I'm not, actually. But I know much better of who I am than what I was about 5 years ago. Do you know who you are? Okay? Who are you? Who are you? What do you go to work for? What do you work so hard? What do you work so many hours? People work like crazy these days. It's the New York City lifestyle. There's nothing we can do. Is that right? Change a job. Seriously, I changed my job. Okay? Live with less. Who said you have to live with, you know, that standard that you're looking after? Live with less. But live. To live as what you are made for. Right? I think that's the gospel message. So he prepared the way of the Lord and he pointed Jesus. Look, Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Make sure that has to be clear in your ministry, in your life. Look, that's the Lamb of God. And he takes away the sin of the world. I'm going to talk about this more in detail next week. Who could take your sin away? Your guilt? I can't. Your wife can't. Pope can't. Nobody can't. Only one person, Lamb of God, could take away your sin. I love that expression. He just takes away from you. Okay? So that burden of sin is completely lifted up from you. Burden of that, you know, that greed. How many of you struggle with greed? Can you say amen? This is more amen than Jesus is the Lord, amen. Thank you. Seriously, that's good. That's really good. How many of you struggle with deep sexual sin? Don't say amen. Yeah. How many of you struggle with, I just can't forgive this person. I just can't, How many of you struggle with, man, I'm nothing. I'm a worthless person. How many of you? So many of you. In fact, in my in my years of serving the Lord, you would be so surprised. You'll be so surprised how many people struggle with these. Many times it's the family issue with their father, with sibling or wife, or between siblings, you know, because of money issue. So many people are bitter, deeply bitter. And you know what? Jesus takes your sin away. He takes your sin away. Son, set you free. You'll be free indeed. That's the gospel, people. Okay? And that is the message of Christianity. And that is the message of John the Baptist. I think that's why he's highlighted. Not because John is great. I don't know what is so great about him. He had a bad, you know, taste of dress, right? Eating strange food. And he was very confrontational. And yet, his name is highlighted. Not because John, but because of the message that he carried. I want to carry that message. Is anybody with me? That I want to carry that message that Jesus is God. He's the Lamb, and he's the one who gives life and the Spirit to the people. Would you say amen if you do?
Amen.
I don't know about you. I pray that that will be the message of this church. Jesus is God, and Jesus is the Lamb. Lamb means Lamb must be slain. Lamb must be slain for someone else. And through the blood of the Lamb, someone gets peace with God, forgiveness and pardon of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? What do you believe otherwise? What is your faith? So many people going to church all their lives and miss what is real thing. I think this is a real thing. Okay? Third, and lastly, John the Baptist, in his life, I think what we can see is he exalted and magnified just one person to the end. That's very hard to do. Let me just tell you something. How many of you know someone who's been doing faithful ministry for 20, 30, 40 years? Very difficult to find. Why? How many of you know someone who was in their 60s and 70s and 80s and who are really, really, you know, living for the Lord? Hard to come by. Why is that? It's very difficult to finish well. Right? But John the Baptist, he had a short ministry career. He started right before Jesus. He was the contemporary. He was 6 months older than Jesus, chronologically. And they were second cousins. But John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the one who was preparing the way of the Lord. But his ministry didn't last that long. Remember that? If you read the story, John the Baptist, you know, he speaks the truth. And when the truth is spoken, people who love the darkness more than the light, they hate him. So Herod Antipas, who was married to his brother's wife, it's like really disgusting, right? And then whole that belly dancing, I think it's belly dancing, yeah, scene, and what do you want? And his wife said, I want John the Baptist's head on the plate. And that's how he died, okay? Way before Jesus' time. His ministry was short, and yet his name remains in the Bible for 2,000 years, and it's going to continue. And you know, I think about it because what would people remember me? Not that I need to be remembered or anything, but somehow people will remember of me and remember of you. What would people remember of me? What would my children remember of me? What would my grandchildren, yeah, perhaps, yeah, right? will remember of me. Man, my dad loved Jesus. And that was his life. My mother revered God. And that was her whole life. I don't know about you, but that's my prayer. And I want to have a message, clear message in my life, that Jesus is God. And he's the Lamb. And he's the one who gives life and the Spirit to those who do not deserve, so that Jesus may tabernacle in you. Glory of God tabernacles in you. So you know who you are. Simba, remember who you are, right? So that you will know what to live for. Otherwise, it's just cycle of delusion, isn't it? And then you, in the middle of it all, you forget everything. You don't even know what is true. You just move. You just exist. And you fight and you live just like those who do not know Christ. Probably the reason is because you don't know Christ. Because you do not know Christ. Okay? So, John the Baptist, to the end, he was the forerunner. Slightly older than Jesus, 6 months. A second cousin, he was the contemporary. But if you look at his ministry, he baptized, John the Baptist, telling people, repent, the king is near, kingdom is near. And I gotta tell you this message, any moment he's coming. You know, it's true message, people. You think 10 years later, I'm gonna plan this. No, what if Christ returns next year, tomorrow? That's the teaching of the Bible. We gotta be ready for that imminent coming of the King, so that you will live humbly, and I would live humbly, so that you will live holy, not like a whatever, right? Because King is coming. His message was repent, for the kingdom is near. So he prepared the way of the King. Make the path and the way straight for the Lord, Yahweh. Okay? The Jesus that I'm preaching right now is God. And Yahweh, people, don't treat him like nothing. Please. There are a few things so striking about John the Baptist. Remember, in this story, they come across, actually, John the Baptist and Jesus. In fact, John the Baptist was the one who baptized Jesus. Remember that? He doesn't really talk about it. He doesn't talk about, John doesn't talk about the baptism story of Jesus, but John the Baptist recalls and witnessed what happened during the baptism. Holy Spirit descended, right? Remember that? And this is what he did. He had two disciples, Andrew, and I'm not sure who the disciple was. That was John the Baptist's disciple. Next day, Jesus passes by. Those of you who saw the movie, right? Look, Lamb of God. What is John the Baptist doing to his disciples? Go follow him. Go follow him. That's amazing, people. That's really amazing. Don't follow me. Don't stuck with me. Go follow the Lamb of God. That's an amazing stuff. And Andrew kind of like, I don't know what to do, look. And then he follows. And who's Andrew? Andrew's the brother, younger brother of Peter. Simon Peter, and Philip, go getting Nathaniel. It's all in chapter 1, people. That's amazing, isn't it? It's not about me. I'm a dry stick. Go follow him, Lamb of God. People, look at my finger. That's the Lamb of God. Follow him. Would you say amen? Would you say amen? It's a second incident. Do you remember later on in chapter 4 and chapter 5? Okay. John the Baptist's disciples were saying, you know, people are going to that ministry. Nobody comes to us to be baptized. They're all going to Jesus. What are they doing? Hey, we're jealous. Right? They're all going to that church. Remember what John the Baptist say? John the Baptist say, listen, I am not the groom. I'm not the main person. I am the friend of the groom. When the groom comes, I rejoice. You know, I've done weddings in the past, and there are people who are a little bit delusional, okay? There is the groom, and then there is like 9 groomsmen, And some of them, as they walk in, they're like a superstar. This is like, hey, calm down. You're nothing. You exist for the groom today. And John the Baptist was humble enough to say, I'm nothing. I exist for the groom. I rejoice. When Christ is exalted, I rejoice. How many of you rejoice when Christ is preached and exalted? John the Baptist did. And I want to do the same. Okay? And lastly, what a statement it is, if you think about it. He said, I must decrease, and he must increase. What an incredible statement that is. I love this statement. Especially as I'm getting older, I think that statement must be true. That must be true. Otherwise, I will not follow him. I must decrease, and he must increase. That was John the Baptist. Three things, right? He knew who he was. Do you know who you are? He knew who he was because he knew clearly who Jesus was. I'm not the Christ. I'm not. I'm just a voice preparing the way. His ministry was very clear. Preparing the way, preparing Jesus, pointing Jesus. That was his ministry. Look, Lamb of God. Behold, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin. Who could do that? Nobody can do that, right? Nobody can do that. Don't talk about this peripheral, parochial stuff from the pulpit. Talk about the real stuff. That's the name of Christ. Only Christ could take away your guilt, your denial. How many of you are living like Simba right now? Oh, that's me, Simba. Go see that movie, by the way. It's very gospel-centered. Yeah, I found gospel in that movie. The lake was where he was born again. You need to know, you need to see who you are. You need to see King of Universe in you. King of Universe. If he lives in you, would you be really, really insecure? Man, he doesn't recognize me. She doesn't show me respect. People of God, Christianity that we see in John's gospel is no small religion. Do you see it? It's no small religion. And lastly, to the end, his message and his exhortation was on one person. One person of Christ. I love this story, actually. As I was preparing this week, I prepared two messages this week and next week. Because next week, somehow, I may not have time to prepare. I'm on vacation. But I already prepared. Okay? And I will be continue preparing. But this message, two messages go together. John the Baptist pointing to Christ. And next week, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Lamb of God, people. And my prayer is that you would believe in that Jesus. Not reduced, denied, living in guilt Jesus. When I go to church, I feel better. When I do quiet time, I feel a little better. Not that kind of Jesus. When I met Christ, I really felt like, by grace, I knew what I had to live for. If I do not live for him, I gotta be the greatest fool. I don't say this, haphazardly, but if your profession, if your job takes that lifestyle of following Christ, you should change your profession. You should change your job. I did, okay? So I think I qualified to say something like that. Follow Christ. Put your trust in him. He's the one who baptizes you with the life and the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you don't have life. You don't. If you don't put your trust in him, you don't have that life. You're just kind of faking it. But you don't have that life. But if you put your full trust in him, yes, you are my Lord. You are the Word. You are the king. You are the one who writes history. You are the one who loved me. And you gave your life for me. And you are the one who could take away my sin, my guilt, my denial, my hatred, my blame. Do you want to live in that state? Blaming someone all the rest of your life? Is that a happy place to be? I just pray, people, come to Christ. And may there be life in you. He's the one who baptizes you, immerses you, unites you with the Spirit of living God. Are you happy with your Christianity? What do you go to school for? And who are you? Let's pray.